My name is Dan. I'm the associate pastor here at Epicenter Church. And today I'm actually going to be preaching the message that I preached a couple months ago. So Pastor Lena just felt like it was something that we really need to hear again, something that, you know, we could listen to it once and it could get into our heads. But as the days and weeks go on, you know, you sort of forget about it. And really, it's a very foundational teaching that really needs to get into your heart. Because it'll change the way you see yourself, and it'll change the way you see the Lord. And so, you know, if you weren't here, this will be new to you. If you were here, this is a reminder. And Jude and one of the epistles from Peter and also Paul, they talk about, I'm writing this to you as a reminder. And so it's okay to say the same message again. Because if you're not living it out, then what's the point? You know, are we coming here on a Sunday morning to hear a message, forget about it the next day? We need it to get into our hearts so it can actually transform our life. And so today I'm going to be talking about identity and sonship. You know, I said this last time, but for all the women, today I'm going to refer to you as sons. Y'all are daughters of God, but for today y'all will be sons because I have to be a bride of Christ for the rest of my life. So you guys are good. So, last time I said it would only be one day. Sorry, I lied. It's 2 days. This is the second day. So I got saved in a denominational church. I'm very grateful for my roots. I'm very grateful for the church that I got saved in. I learned a lot. They taught me a lot, and they loved me. They loved me a lot. But when it came to the subject of identity, most of what they taught was that I was a sinner, and I was always going to be a sinner. You know, you hear the saying, you're a sinner saved by grace. But the reality is you were a sinner, but now you're a son, and you're a son saved by grace. Yes. And so while I was at that church, I love it. I still have a lot of friends there. I run into them from time to time. They had a young adults group. It was guys and it was girls. And I'm going to be honest, I was really jealous of the girls group. They just seemed very spiritual. They seemed on fire for God. You know, we would come together for worship and they'd be on their knees. They'd be worshiping. They'd be going all out. And, you know, a lot of the guys just weren't. They were just there, which, you know, some people, they worship like this and that's fine. It's not a big deal. It's about the heart posture. But when it came to, like, the girls, I heard stories from them of people getting healed, of them having dreams and visions from the Lord, of, like, hearing the voice of God. And so just hearing those stories from them, it stirred me. But for the guys group, all we ever did was talk about sin. And we talked about sin and trying not to sin. And, man, yesterday I sinned. Like, you know, accountability is good. We need accountability because we don't want to live in sin. But when that's our only focus, you're gonna sin. If you're only focusing on sin, you're going to sin. If you focus on the Lord, there's freedom in him. And so we need to focus on the Lord. We need to submit to him. And if there's something there and it's something that we've been struggling with for years and years, you know, maybe there's other ways we can go, whether it's deliverance or just having people pray for you. But God wants you to live in freedom. He wants you to live in holiness. He doesn't want there to be any secrets. And so, yeah, I mean, that group, it was just us struggling. And I think you all know what you mean by struggling. So, but even during that season, during our struggle, like, we loved the Lord. You know, everyone was in the Word. For me personally, I loved getting into the Word. I would devour the Word for hours and hours and hours. And, you know, I loved God with all my heart. Like, even though I didn't know everything, I knew that there was a change in my heart. Because before, when I would sin, I wouldn't care. But once I got saved, I cared. And I didn't want to sin. And so, when I was reading the Word, I felt like things were popping off the pages. I felt like God was highlighting things to me. I felt like I was hearing God, not audibly, but, you know, the Lord, he'll speak to your heart, he'll speak to your mind, and one of the main ways he speaks to me is through the Word. If I ever want to hear from the Lord, I open up the Bible and I get into the Word, and, you know, I ask him, hey, teach me, speak to me, show me what I'm not seeing. And with the word, there's endless things that God can speak to you. You could read the same thing multiple times and something different could stick out. And so, you know, I shared with the group, like, I feel like God is speaking something to me. And the leader immediately, he shut me down and he was like, Dan, God doesn't speak that way. God doesn't speak through the word. You have to read everything in context. And the thing is, I agree, you have to read the word in context, but sometimes God will speak through the word into your situation. And so when he does, we don't want to shut people down because honestly, that left me really confused. Like, I feel like I'm hearing from the Lord, but then someone's telling me that I'm not. And I trust this person. And, you know, they had right motives. That's what they were taught, you know? So I'm not blaming them. It's just, that's what they were taught. That's what they did. And, you know, I trusted them. And so that left me confused. I still had a love for the word, but I didn't know if I knew God's voice. And then, you know, I didn't have an understanding of certain concepts. I didn't understand what grace meant. I didn't understand righteousness. I didn't understand sanctification or justification. And, you know, these are all big words that we don't really use in our day-to-day life. And you see, I'm a 90s kid. So in the 90s, I would watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And they would say the word righteous. And so in that context, righteous meant like awesome. And so, you know, I'm reading the word, and I'm like, it's saying righteous and righteousness, but it doesn't seem like it's saying awesome. Like, there's a huge disconnect here, you know? And if you don't know, maybe you're a new Christian, maybe you're not saved. Righteousness and righteous is just your right standing with God or right doing. And so, you know, there's different words that maybe we don't know about. And maybe for me personally, because I got shut down, I was afraid of asking, you know? I didn't want to look stupid because I already looked stupid in front of everyone else when he told me, no, you're not hearing God. You have to read this way, you know? And so Proverbs 4:7, part of that verse says, and all you're getting, get understanding. Yeah. And so if you're reading the word and you don't have understanding, things aren't going to connect. You may be blind in an area when you could have freedom because you don't understand. You may view yourself in a bad way that the Lord doesn't even view you as, but because you don't have understanding, you're going to be stuck in that, you know? Or you may have a wrong view of God. Maybe you think he's angry at you. Maybe you think he's disappointed with you. Maybe you think you can't go to him. But he loves you and he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He wants you to run to him. Whenever you mess up, whenever you fall, he wants you to run up to him. He has his arms wide open for you. And so one of the things we always tell the young adults is, if you don't understand something, if you have a question, please ask it. Because I'd rather you ask it. There's no stupid questions. There's no judgment. But I'd rather you ask it and get your answer instead of being confused for months and years and years. Because for me, I was confused about a lot of those subjects for years. Like, I didn't know those things. And I'm not saying that they didn't ever teach them, but whenever I was there, they didn't really teach it clearly. And so there was just a lot of confusion in my walk. But even with all the confusion, you know, the confusion doesn't matter as long as you still have a heart for God, as long as you still keep seeking him. Those answers will get revealed to you. You can, whether you're asking someone or asking the Holy Spirit will also give you understanding. And so because of the girls and the girls group talking about healings and everything, I got really interested on the subject of healing. I don't know how it came up. I don't know if it was just randomly in my YouTube feed. This was well over like 14 years ago. But I found street healing videos. There was three ministers that I saw going on the streets. There's one who's sort of famous now, and then the other two aren't famous at all. It's just something that they did. They had a camcorder. They'd go out, and it'd just be them praying for people, and they would get healed. And it was crazy. And it was like, God, if this is real, that's the thing. If this is real, I don't know. I'd never seen it. You know, I hear things. Usually it only happens in Africa and stuff like that. You know, you hear testimonies like that. But God, if this is real, I want it in my life. And so I saw those videos and I prayed for 2 years, like, God, I want to see healings in my life. And at that time, we actually had been going out and doing ministry in Third Ward and also ministry at an apartment complex with Burmese refugees. And so anytime I had a chance, if they were sick or if they had pain, I would pray for them and nothing would happen. But I still would do it. I would still step out and I still, like, God, if this is real, like, I want you to use me in this. And so one of those ministers in 2014 ended up opening up a school. And so it was a school, it was out of his house. And so there was maybe 7 or 8 of us who ended up flying to Kansas. And right when we get off the plane, we see him and he's praying for a guy with a cane. And then a couple seconds later, he didn't need the cane anymore. So the guy, he got completely healed. And I was just like, still in my head, I'm a little skeptical. I'm like, did he pay this guy, you know? Like, half of the trip, I was still skeptical until he wasn't around and I actually started praying for people on my own and seeing healings. But the thing is, with this school, my whole motive of the school was seeing healings, like seeing people get healed. But the school of it, in it of itself was actually an identity and lifestyle school. Now, if you would have asked me what that meant, identity and lifestyle, I couldn't tell you. Like, I'd never heard of identity. I never heard any identity teachings. Like I said, all we really talked about was sin. And so while we were there, one of the first questions he asked us, he had us sit down at a table, and he asked us, who are you? And so our first answer, which we all failed, was our names. And he's like, no, I didn't ask for your name. I asked, who are you? And so maybe a minute or two passed and none of us could answer it correctly. And he said, you're a son of God. You're a child of God. At the core of who you are, your truest identity is being a son. And then he also taught on concepts I never really was taught on, like spirit, soul, and body, as well as the old man and the new man. But the biggest takeaway that I had while I was there is that I was a son and I'm not a sinner. In fact, I was made free from sin. You know, in the past, I had read Romans 6 about being free from sin multiple times. Like, the book of Romans is my favorite book, even before I had a lot of understanding. Like, Romans was amazing, and it's still amazing. But, you know, I was taught you'll always be a sinner, because in Romans 7, Paul says he's carnal and sold under sin. And, you know, he talks about the things that I do, I don't want to do, and there's just like a big wrestling in it of himself. But you see, the thing is, when people teach out of Romans 7, they forget about 6 being free from sin, and Romans 8 as well. And in Romans 7, in verse 1, the first thing that he talks about is, I'm talking to you who are under the law. So he's talking to the Jewish believers. He's not even talking to Gentiles. And so when he's talking, he's going into all these concepts about the law passing away and being dead, you know, and we've come into a new covenant. When he's talking about being carnal and sold under sin and all these inner struggles, he's talking about himself as a man under the law before knowing Christ. And so in Romans 8, he goes into how there is no longer condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, and how the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So the thing with the Bible is, you know, we have verses and we have chapters, and it's amazing because it's good for studying. But it's very easy to forget that it's written as one big letter. And so when you're reading Romans, Paul is building up different arguments and different concepts, one upon each other. And so if you only read Romans 7, you'll forget that in Romans 6, he's saying you're free from sin. You've been made free from sin. Your old man is dead. You're raised in the newness of life. But then if you just focus on 7, you think, oh, I'm carnal, I'm sold under sin, I'm always going to struggle, I'm always going to wrestle with this. No, he's given you freedom. And he confirms that by Romans 8, talking about how much freedom you have in Christ Jesus, as long as you're walking and living according to the Spirit. You can choose to walk in sin if you want as a Christian, but that's not God's best for you. He's given you freedom. The Holy Spirit can empower you to call those things dead. And so we have been set free from sin. We are now made righteous. We still have the ability to sin, but through surrender and sanctification, he changes our desires to not want to sin. But if, now I say if, not when, if I sin, I have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, who has forgiven me and justified me, making it just as if I never sinned. My old man died with Christ, and I've been risen up with Christ in the newness of life as a new creation. I no longer have to identify with sin as a sinner. I identify with Christ as a redeemed son. Now that I am a son, I have access to the Father. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir of Christ, and I've been given the Holy Spirit. But you have to understand, when I didn't know these things, I lived so many years questioning if I was hearing God, believing I would never have freedom, and I didn't even know who the Holy Spirit was. Like, there were so many days whenever I would fall into sin, crying, God, is this how it's always going to be? Am I always going to be stuck in this? But the Lord can give you freedom in any area of your life. And when it came to the Holy Spirit, you know, we didn't have really good teaching on him. I thought he was my conscience, you know? And so here's the thing. If you don't know who you are and whose you are, you won't know what you have access to, and you will continue to live like an orphan. I'm going to repeat that. If you don't know who you are and whose you are, you won't know what you have access to, and you will continue to live like an orphan. You will live less than what God has called you to. You will find your identity in people and in relationships, and you will even find your identity in your job. Now, I promise I'm staying on topic here, but I love the UFC. And so the UFC, you know, it's mixed martial arts, it's fighting, and there's a lot of strategy behind it. I know there's a lot of violence. It's not about the violence for me, although it's exciting, you know. But for their whole career, they put in blood, sweat, and tears. They go through so much pain. They have to have a mind of a fighter. Their whole life is fighting. They're training 2 times a day, sometimes 3 times a day. They have to get their rest and recovery. They have to have their nutrition. When they're in camp, they have to cut weight. Some of them cut like 40 to 50 pounds in a 10-week span. And so when they're in camp, they tell their family, like, hey, leave me alone. I love you guys, but I have to focus. Because if they're not focused in and they have other distractions going on, they could get knocked out. And so their life is on the line, literally. And so the thing is with fighters, they have a prime when they're the fastest, when they're the most explosive. But around age 35, their reflexes and their speed start to decline. And so you won't find a lot of champions past age 35. It actually recently happened that a couple weeks ago, someone was 38 and he became champion, and he was a massive underdog, and it was just crazy. It was one of the craziest fights I've ever seen. But the thing is, once everything starts declining for them, they have to retire because they're going to continue to lose. They're going to continue to accumulate brain damage, and you know they don't want that. But their whole identity was in what they were doing. Their whole identity was in their job of being a fighter. You know, I'm a fighter. I don't know what my life is after this. A lot of them become alcoholics. A lot of them become addicted to drugs. A lot of them just, you know, their whole life is into this and they don't know what else to do. They didn't have a backup plan. They didn't have other skills. They didn't promote themselves. And so in the same way, we as Christians, when we find our identity in our job, we tend to fall apart. If we get laid off, we fall apart. If God calls us somewhere else, sometimes we fall apart. And so you have to go in it with the perspective of my identity isn't in my job. My identity isn't in what I do. My identity is in Christ. My trust is in Christ. Because if you get laid off, maybe the Lord just wants to give you an upgrade. Maybe he wants to give you a better job. If he's calling you elsewhere, he's wanting to give you something better. I'm not saying it's necessarily financially. It could just be something else. Maybe you just have more peace in that job. Maybe you're not under that manager anymore. You know, there could be multiple different things. It doesn't always have to be about money. We don't have to put all of our success in money. Our success is in following the will and calling of God. And so, but if we hold on to certain things and not give these things up, if God is calling us into something else, that's when we're going to fall apart. We have to be able to let go and say, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. And so there's another scary place. But you can even find your identity in what you're doing for God. So whenever I was first doing the street healing evangelism stuff, it was me and two other guys. We would go and pray for people and just see crazy miracles. And they had way more boldness than me. If you don't know me, I can be very reserved. It sort of takes a while for me to go out and talk to random people I don't know. You know, I have to build up that courage sometimes. But for them, they were just bold. They would go and just pray for anyone and anything, and they were seeing crazy miracles. And so it was like iron sharpening iron. You know, they were getting me to step out of my shell. But it was only iron sharpening iron when it came to healing. When it came to seeking the Lord and getting away with him, getting into the word, getting into the secret place, they lacked that entirely. And so I would try to keep them accountable and be like, guys, like, you have to get into the word, because healing can only sustain you for so long. You can walk in miracles and still walk in sin. You can walk in miracles and view yourself as an orphan. You can walk in miracles and not know who you are as a son. And so miracles don't affirm your salvation. Miracles don't affirm who you are. It's just something that God wants to do. He has mercy and love and compassion on people. He'll move through whoever is willing, regardless of what they're doing. And so I would beg them, guys, please get into the word. Please get into the word. Like, this is the thing that will sustain you. Your one-on-one relationship is what will sustain you in the long run. And they wouldn't listen to me. And to this day, they're not following the Lord. And so I still pray for them every single day. But they fell in love with the power of God instead of falling in love with God himself. Yes. I'll repeat that. They fell in love with the power of God instead of falling in love with God himself. And it doesn't just have to be the power of God. We can fall in love for what God does for us. You know, I love blessings. I love the favor that the Lord gives us, but I don't want him just for blessings and favor. I want him for him. I want to know him. I want to have that one-on-one relationship with him. And getting alone with the Lord, maybe it feels like a chore to you right now. If it does, ask him for passion. Ask him for a passion and a hunger to want to seek him, because he'll give it to you. You have not because you ask not. And so he doesn't want it to be a chore. Yeah, there can be times when you don't feel like it, and there is a discipline, but he wants you to delight in the discipline. When you find your identity and the things you do or the things you get from the Lord, instead of being a son, you will lack intimacy with the Lord and take on an orphan mindset. And the Father doesn't want us to live as orphans, but as sons. John 14, 15 through 18 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." And Romans 8, 14 through 17 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." You have to know that you're a son and not an orphan, not just in your head, but in your heart. Orphans try to do good works to earn the love and approval of the Father. Sons know they are loved and approved by the Father, and out of being a son, they do good works. Let me repeat that. Orphans try to do good works to earn the love and approval of the Father. Sons know they are loved and approved by the Father, and out of being a son, they do good works. You'd be surprised, but a lot of people don't know that the Father loves them. Some of the main reasons are a lack of identity, maybe a bad father figure in the past. A lot of times, maybe they don't feel the presence of God, and so they think that his affirmation is from feeling his presence. And so I ran into two friends from that church that I actually got saved in, and we were actually at a tea shop. And so I went and I talked to them and was just catching up with them and seeing how they were doing. And I felt like the Lord gave me some words for them, and I started praying for them, and I gave them words. And while I was praying for them, the presence of God came on them so strongly like they had never felt before. It was like a tangible presence of the Lord. And so if you don't know what I'm talking about, some of the ways that God touches people is maybe they'll feel tingling on their body. Sometimes they'll feel heat or like electricity. For me, and I'm sure for them too, whenever I felt the presence of God in that church, a lot of times I felt goosebumps. But I always question, like, is it because the AC is too cold, you know? That's how my mind worked. I'm sorry, I'm very skeptical of different things. Not as much anymore, but back then, you know, I didn't know much. And so they felt the tangible presence of God, and they just started crying and weeping because they had never felt anything like that before. They were like, "Dan, what is this?" I'm like, "This is the Holy Spirit. He's on you. He's touching you. He wants you to know him. He wants to go deeper with you." And they loved the Lord. They wanted to go deeper. It was just in the environment they were in. They weren't used to that type of stuff. They weren't used to the gifts of the Spirit. They weren't used to prophecy. They weren't used to healing. And so, they had an encounter with God that they couldn't deny. But a few months later, I was back in Dallas at Bible college. And so I think whenever I met with them, it was during the summer. One of them reached out to me and was just like, "Dan, I need you to pray for me because I don't feel the love of God. And I want to feel the presence of God like that again." And I told him, "Hey, I can't do that. I could pray for you and you'll feel something and God will come and touch you, but you're going to relate his love for you to if you feel him or not. And you're not always going to feel him. There's so many times I don't feel him. There's a lot of days I don't feel him. There's a lot of days I do feel him. I feel him in different ways. And if you don't, it doesn't matter because he lives in you. His presence is in you. He's with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you." And so I don't base my life off of feelings. I don't base my walk with if I'm feeling him or not, because I know people who've walked away from the Lord because they didn't feel him. And so they took that as, oh, he disapproves of me. When no, it's just he doesn't want you to rely on feelings. And because you are relying on feelings, you're not going after him. You're going after the feeling. And I love feelings. Feelings feel good, you know? He wouldn't make them feel good if they weren't supposed to. Like, Lena will be up here, and she's like, man, the presence of God is so strong. Like, you guys need to come up here. It's so strong. And I'm in the back, and I'm doing sound, and I'm like, I feel absolutely nothing right now. And so, but I can still sense that something in the room is happening. I can sense that the presence of God is strong, regardless of if I'm feeling him or not. Like, that doesn't determine anything. That doesn't determine my worth. It doesn't determine his love for me. My worth and his love is found in the Word. You have to, and that's why you have to know you're a son. You have to know you're loved. You have to know that he approves of you, even when you mess up. Right. It doesn't mean that he approves of your sin, but he approves of you. And you're not what your actions are. Yes. You're not your sin. Yes. Sin is something that you did. You know, you spent so many years living in sin without knowing the Lord. It's going to take some years to get out of that. Yeah. You know, it's not an instant thing. Sanctification takes time. And for some people, it is instant, and that's amazing. I wish it could be like that for all of us. And it wasn't for me. And so if it isn't for you, you're not alone. And so if someone says that they're walking in freedom, it's not condemnation towards you because you're not there yet.
Right.
If anything, it should motivate you like, man, I can walk in freedom because he's walking in freedom. And so John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he who believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life isn't just going to heaven. You can have eternal life right now. Eternal life is knowing him. Eternal life is seeking him. Eternal life is being with him, walking with him in the cool of the day, in your ups and in your downs. He just wants you to know him. He just wants to be with you. He wants you to acknowledge him. He wants you to be aware of him. He doesn't want you to hide from him. And he's not going to force himself on you. You have to go to him. He might convict you. Well, he probably will convict you. But if you allow your heart to be hardened over time, he'll say, okay, you want to do your thing, but I'm still here. I haven't left you. I'm still here. My arms are still open to you whenever you want to come back. I love you. You think you know best right now? Have fun. And so the Father loves you. He sent his son so you could know him as a father. He sent his son so you could become a son. We're not called to walk by our feelings. We're not called to walk by our past father figures. A lot of us could have father wounds from the past. He's so much better than our father. Even if you had an amazing earthly father, he's still so much better. And even when you don't feel his presence or his love, you have to know he loves you. You are known by him, and he wants you to know him. But you only know him if you get away and you seek him. You know, you could come to a Sunday, you could hear us preach about him, you could know a lot of things about him, you could hear a lot of things about him. But if you don't know him, then it's all for nothing. I could know a lot of things about Lena, but if I don't talk to Lena, do I really know her? And so the way to get to know him is getting into the Word, getting alone with him, learning how to hear his voice. Maybe, you know, if you're a Christian, I guarantee you've heard his voice. You just don't recognize it. And so my prayer to you would be, Lord, help me to recognize your voice. You're always speaking. Help me to recognize your voice. Help me to know it's you and not me. And even when it is you, he still has grace for you, and he still will come and love you and comfort you and teach you. Because to learn how to hear his voice, you're going to make mistakes. But that's part of it. And so, because I've had that one-on-one time with him, because I've had that intimacy with him, whenever we were still in Bible college, you know, we were close to graduating, and there was a youth pastor position that opened up back here at a different church for me and Alicia. And, you know, they knew us from previous churches, and they knew that we had a passion for the Lord, and they were excited, and they were like, we really just want to hire you guys as youth pastors. And while we were still in Bible college, the Lord had already shown me, I don't remember if he had shown Alicia, but he showed me that we were going to work here, and we didn't know how that was going to look like. We weren't going to try to force ourselves in. We weren't, you know, we loved Lena, but honestly, like, if you guys don't know about us, during Bible college, we would come maybe for the holidays and for the weekends. So it's like, God, I don't know how this is going to look. I don't know how we're going to get hired here, but I'm going to trust you. And so we turned that youth pastor position down because we heard from the Lord that, no, I don't want you there. And it's not that it's a bad church. Like, we actually knew the people who took those positions. And the thing is, if we would have taken those positions, we would have taken it from them. But God wanted them there, and they're still in ministry to this day. And so that was their stepping stone. That was where the Lord had them. And I don't ever want to rob someone else of where they're called because I was disobedient. Even though it looked good, it felt good, it wasn't good because it wasn't from the Lord. And so there's going to be, sometimes there's multiple doors, there's multiple choices. And, you know, sometimes they could all be good, or sometimes the Lord is like, oh, that looks good, but that's not for you. But that you'll only know which door you're supposed to really go through if you're alone with him. Otherwise, you're going to go through what looks good, what feels good, what is good. And there could be a door that's open to you, but he's just saying not right now. And so you have to know the timing too. And so, but you're not going to know the timing if you're not away with him, if you're not seeking him. And we want to walk in obedience. We don't want to walk in disobedience. We don't want to do our own thing. And you know what? Say we go through the wrong door. The Lord is so graceful. He's so amazing that he will still redirect your steps and bring you back to where you're supposed to be. It might take a couple years, but he can still work it out. It's not like, oh, wrong door, my life is over. I'm never in the will of God again, you know? Like, no, you just made a mistake. You're learning how to hear his voice. It's okay. I love you. Let's come over here. And so, there was one Sunday morning, well, it was whenever we had 3 p.m. services, that Cammie gave Alicia a prophetic word, and she was like, yeah, I see a new job coming to you. And, you know, we're just like, what could this be? And then later that night, we went to another church with a bunch of people from Epicenter, and there's a prophetic speaker that Alicia and I had never heard before. I believe she's from Canada. And so she came and she prophesied over Alicia, and I was like, I just see new jobs for you. And the Lord was already speaking to Lena and Alan about hiring us as intern staff. And so, but here's the thing. If we had taken that position already, we wouldn't have been here. We wouldn't have been planted. We wouldn't have followed the Lord's obedience to what he had called us to. And so you'll only know that if you get away with him. And then even with intimacy, there comes trust, there comes favor. Is it okay if I share what happened? Maybe I'll have to edit some details out, I don't know. You know, when you're a son, when you're a daughter of God, when you're a child of God, you have favor on your life. And one of my favorite lines is, favor isn't fair. And if you wanted fair, go to hell, because that's what you deserved. But you have favor on your life, and you should expect to have favor on your life. If you don't expect the favor on your life, some favorable things might not happen. Sometimes they will, but I expect the favor of God to come in on my life. And so I'm sure a lot of you heard we were in a car accident. Our car was totaled. The person didn't have insurance. They had an expired license. They made a bad turn and hit us, and so it was just a mess. And so, you know, our car didn't have a lot of miles on it. It had very low mileage on it. So but it was a 2016, so the value is a little iffy. You know, it should be a lot more, but you're not going to really find a car with that many miles on it. And we got our insurance adjuster, and he told us the price, and, you know, we felt like it was a little too low for what the car was worth. And he was being fair, honestly. Like, he really wasn't trying to do anything bad. He was very honest. He was just telling us, you know, this is sort of your range. But, you know, we had a different number in mind, and we just believed that we don't know how it's going to look, or we don't know what's going to happen, but we just believe that we have God's favor on our life. And he was talking with Alicia, and he asked, he was reciting your email back to you, right? And so he said, your email is Alicia at epicenter.life. And she's like, yeah. And he's like, Epicenter, like Epicenter Church. And he's like, and Alicia's like, yeah. And he goes, do you know Lena? And Alicia's like, yeah, that's my boss. And she's like, our daughter calls her Nani, which is what a lot of your nieces and nephews call you as well. And so he said, Lena is my aunt-in-law. So it's just crazy favor, crazy circumstances that out of every adjuster from the company, we got him. You know, and if I was on the phone, it wouldn't have been good because I use a different email. I use my Gmail. Alicia uses her Epicenter email for that. I don't. So we wouldn't have had a good price. Because there was days I was like, you know, I've dealt with car wrecks in the past. They weren't my fault, but I've dealt with insurance people. And this was Alicia's first time. And there is actually one day I was like, man, I sort of feel bad. Like, she's having to talk to them. I sort of know how it goes. Maybe I should talk. But I'm glad I didn't, because he doesn't care about my Gmail. He cares about epicenter.life. And so he gave us a really good price. It was actually more than what we had in mind, you know. And that's just the favor of God on our life. But I really don't believe that that would have happened if we didn't trust in him, if we weren't seeking him, if we weren't expecting favor. I don't know if that would have happened. Maybe it could have, but I'm just expecting that God is going to take care of things. I expect that if we put our trust in him, he'll provide everything that we need. And it's not just about getting things from him or having things our way. There's sometimes that things don't go our way, but we love him anyways. We love him through the suffering. We love him through the hard times. But I love the favor. And so here's the thing, is the Lord, he wants to be part of your everyday life. He wants to be part of your work. You know, when we were working at other places, we would hear from the Lord, pray for people to get healed. He wants to be a part of your work life. He wants to be a part of your hobbies. Alicia, she loves to fish, and that's her hobby. And she'll always pray, Lord, like, give me either the biggest fish or the most fish. And every time she'll get both, like, she'll get the biggest or the most. And, you know, that's just her one-on-one time with the Lord. And I feel sorry for you if you go with her, because maybe you didn't pray hard enough. For me, my hobbies is playing video games. You know, it's my downtime, it's my relaxed time. And so, and some of the games I play, you know, I'm looking for something and I don't know where it's at. And the Lord just says, hey, go this way, it's over there. And I go there and it's there. But the thing is, I invite him into those times. He doesn't have to come there. I invite him. I say, Lord, I want to hang out with you. This is something I enjoy doing. Maybe your thing is watching a movie. Maybe you just love watching movies, and he'll speak to you through that movie. And you'll get revelation from the word and that movie, and it's like something will just pop up. And so whatever your hobby is, invite the Lord into it, because he wants to be with you. Not just when you're reading the word, but everywhere you go. That's not like, oh, okay, I read today, put you down later. You know, no, he lives in you. He's with you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to grow up in all things in him. But are you talking with him throughout the day? And so I'm getting ready to close. If you want to know what the love of the Father looks like, look to the life of Jesus. John 14:9 says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And when you know the love of the Father, you're supposed to walk in that same love. And Ephesians 5, 1 through 2 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." And so last time I preached this, I actually closed right here. But today I want to do things just slightly different. As sons and daughters of God, we have a right to exercise, and that is praying for the sick. And so if you have pain in your body, if you're sick, if you need prayer for healing, I just want to ask you to raise your hand. And I just want everyone else to go and lay hands on them. And we're going to pray for them, and we're just going to believe God to heal them. I'll just close this out. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace, God. I thank you, Lord, that this wouldn't just be something that goes in one ear and out the other, Lord. I thank you that this would take root in our hearts, God, that it would change our view of you. It would change our view of ourselves, Lord. If we have a dirty lens, Lord, I thank you that you would just wipe it clean, God, and we would be able to see you rightly, God, and see ourselves rightly, God. I thank you, Lord, we're your sons, we're your daughters, Lord. And we just want to grow in you. We want to walk in your love, walk in your goodness, God. Walk with you, God. All we want is you, Jesus. All the other added things is nice, but Lord, all we want is you, Jesus. Even if we didn't have those other added things, God, we just want you. Our heart is just to know you, God. Just to love you, Jesus. We love you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you that over the next couple of weeks, God, you would just grow this revelation in our hearts, God, of who we are in you, Jesus. Give us a passion and a hunger to seek you, God, even when we don't feel like it, God. Give us a passion and a hunger to know you, to seek you, to walk with you, Lord. Lord, let us not focus on sin, but let us focus on you, because you're the one who brings freedom. We love you, Lord, and I speak freedom in this room. I thank you that chains are breaking, Lord. I thank you that mindsets are breaking, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord. It's a brand new day, a brand new season, and we can just walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.